Oh, they are Galileans. They must have done something wrong. They deserve God's punishment. Okay, I'm sorry I was a little bit dramatic. I hope that I just wake you up. They are Galileans. Oh, they deserve God's punishment. It was a popular belief at the time of Jesus. Anything with a disaster, often associated with the punishment for sins at the time of Jesus. And let's be honest, from time to time we might feel the same way. Thus, Pharisees, the religious leaders at the time of Jesus, had no time for sinners. They deserve that. They believe that they should just be written off. But today we heard from the gospel, Jesus disagreed. And Jesus told them this story. Story of the vineyard, right? So let's go a little bit deeper with this particular parable or story. So, vineyard. What do we do in vineyard? Huh? We make wine, right? I mean, I hope that I'm right, right? Vineyard means what? We put certain plants there. We harvest certain plants. It's a special place, normally reserved for vines only. And yet, in today's gospel, today's Jesus parable, Jesus talks about what? Strangely, fig tree. Okay, we're talking about vineyard. Then all of a sudden, fig tree. Huh? This was not usual. At the time of Jesus, soil was so scarce that trees were planted wherever there was a soil. So we are dealing then with a tree planted in a very, very privileged space. And this big tree is in the vineyard. In addition, in the normal course of events, it takes 3 years for a fig tree to reach maturity. Comparing the vine, that's rather long time to get something out of this tree. If by the time it is not fruiting, it is not likely to fruit at all. Such was the case with the tree Jesus was talking about. For 3 years, the owner had been coming to it and finding it barren. So he came to a conclusion that the tree was useless in this privileged land, in his vineyard. This fig tree did not get the fruit. It was drawing nourishment from the ground, but giving nothing back. You see the context right now, see? When you heard, well, could be fig tree, not a big deal. Now we can sense that this is a big deal, right? No wonder why the owner said, let it go. It had to go to feed the vineyard, to feed the vine. It was taking up the valuable space again. So he told his gardener to get rid of it. Natural reaction. But the gardener, who had a great knowledge of fig trees and was a very patient man, replied, "Sir, give it one more year." Wow, huh? One more year. "I will dig the earth around it and put on plenty of awesome sources there, all the necessary nutrition. Then, if there are no figs on it, this time next year, we will cut them down. We will cut it down." And the owner of the vineyard agreed. I think you got the context now. Then continues, we are not told what happened to the fig tree, but it doesn't matter. Jesus had made his point. Just as the gardener was patient with the fig tree, so God is patient with the sinners. God is patient with the sinners. I often refer today's gospel passage, today's particular gospel passage, as a parable of the second chance. Parable of the second chance. God is patient. The history of the church is full of examples of these barren fig trees that in time became fruitful. In other words, sinners who repented and became saints. Okay, let's give an example. Today's example, the Moses, from the first reading. Moses. Now, as a young man, what did he do? He had killed another man. And yet, God did not write him off. True, he had, don't get me wrong, he had a fiery temper, but there was a good in him. He was that rare being, the kind of man who could not stand idly by when he saw an injustice or a crime happening. It was because of this quality that God chose him to lead his people from slavery to freedom. Oh, sure, he had a temper. Oh, sure, he did something terrible. And yet, God was patient. He became the leader of Israelites, bringing them out of Egypt to the promised land. How about the secular figure? We all know the Einstein. Einstein was arguably the greatest mind of the 20th century. I'm sure that each one of us can concur. Yet, he did not learn to talk until he was 2 years old. His parents were so worried about him that they consulted a doctor. Later, one of his teachers was so disappointed in him that he said, "Oh, you will never amount to anything." As yet, there were no signs of his future greatness, but his parents and teacher had judged him too soon. Some people develop slowly and late, but are all the better before that. I can go on and on and on. I can give all the examples of saints. For my favorite, one of my favorite saints, Saint Ignatius of Loyola. My gosh, when he was young, he was nothing but the imaginary person, did all kind of crazy things, and yet he wanted to become a knight to be popular among ladies. That's what his intention was. Because he wanted to be popular among ladies, therefore he involved a battle and he got terribly injured. But at the beginning, he mentioned in his autobiography how horrible he was. And yet, he became one of the greatest saints, giving us a direction what it means to follow the Lord by his amazing book called Spiritual Exercise. What such people need is somebody to believe in them. Somebody to have patience with them. Otherwise, a lot of talent will go down the drain. We tend to be harsh on others until we need a second chance ourselves. We must extend to others the kind of patience and leniency we would like for ourselves. But the parable also makes it very clear that there's such a thing as the last chance. There's such a thing as the last chance. If people refuse chance after chance, the day finally comes, not when God has shut them out, but when they have, by deliberate choice, shut themselves out. If they do not choose God now, what's the guarantee that they would choose God when God calls them? When their earthly life is over, about to over, and yet this person never chose to follow the Lord, what chance would that person have to choose God? What chance would that person choose other than God? My brothers and sisters, third week of Lent has begun. And now many of us get the rhythm of Lent. We finally figured out what to do on Friday, or Friday, no meat. And some of you now get better practicing day by day special devotions. Some of us, including myself, try to get away from things that we like to focus on Jesus. I think we got the rhythm of Lent now. Then it's time for us to switch the higher gear to move forward. God is giving us the second chance, my brothers and sisters. God is patient. He's giving us chance after chance after chance after chance. And this week, as you can see, the theme is that God is patient. That means, so are we. So are we. So this third week of Lent, as God is patient to each one of us, as God is giving us the second chance, let's practice the virtue of patience, particularly this week. Patience. Not easy, isn't it? And yet, if God is patient, then so are we. Let's try and see how much we can grow up in the Lord by exercising the virtue of patience, as we heard from today's gospel, or what I call parable of the second chance. If you today hear his voice, harden not your heart. We hear this one constantly during Lenten season. You've just heard God's invitation. Let's not harden our heart. Let's be patient this week, as God is patient to us.